Praise God. What a privilege this morning to have the righteousness of God imputed to us. You know, it says there, where was that? You were in verse 4 there, whose sins are covered. It's like God is just, I don't see it. What do you mean? I don't see it. Our sins are covered. He doesn't see it. And also, you read there, he staggered not at the promise. I mean, in Genesis, it says he laughed, and you know, it's like, this ain't going to work. But, you know, on this side of the cross, on this side of Calvary, Paul says he didn't stagger at the promises. And in, I think it's in even in Hebrews 11, it says he offered up his son. Well, he actually didn't offer it up. He was gonna. But in the New Testament, it says, who offered up his son Isaac. That's a difference, I guess, the blood makes in our lives. We commit a sin, and yet God's like, I didn't see it. Like, you're righteous. Because you put your faith in my son. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Jesus, he's all the difference. Jesus makes all the difference. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it'll be like you've never sinned or never fail. Wow. What a blessing this morning. I was just encouraged this morning by the truth of the songs, the truth of the word that we sing. Why is our heart prone to wonder? You know, I have to think of that. Why? Why is your heart prone to wonder? I don't know. But it just is. If you don't nurture that relationship with Christ, your heart is prone to wonder. It is just that way. And prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Why would we do that? And yet it's just, we walk by sight too often, I think, is where you lose that sight of eternity is when we turn to what we can see. The heart is deceitful above all else. Who knows the depths of the fallenness of our heart, it says in Genesis. And I realize that's our sinful nature is just, there's the depths of the fallenness of man is, who would have thought? Look at the society today. Who would have thought of some of the things that are going on today? Our heart is deceitful above all else. I remember a day when I was thinking about being deceived. You know, I just didn't think that I would be deceived. I mean, why would I be? I'm born again and I'm walking. But I remember one day as I was thinking about that, I recognized that, you know what? My heart is actually capable of being deceived. I am capable of being deceived. And it just kind of gripped me. Just thought of that is that, you know what? I'm capable of being deceived. I need to stay close to God and the Word of God. We must look at the Word of God and believe what it says in faith, as Sim said. He challenged us to pick up the Bible and just believe what it says, and it'll change your life. It'll change the way you think. Praise God. This morning I want to look at Jesus said, I am the truth. We'll go to John 6. We'll read the first 6 verses there. The last time we looked at Jesus said, I am the way. And just talked a little bit about Jesus being the way to the Father. Let's read verses 1 through 6. And after these things, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither you go and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. So, according to this, the whole reason for Jesus coming is that we can come to the Father, right? And Jesus made that way available to us. He came, he died, he shed his blood at Calvary. He made that way available to us, that we can come to the Father. I heard this morning, coming to that throne room of God and communing with God. Jesus made that way for us by sacrificing his body, his life at Calvary. We also looked why Jesus came. He came to do the will of the Father. That's why he came. I came to do thy will, O God, it said. And isn't that our purpose here this morning? As we're here, as we're born again by Jesus, by putting our faith in Jesus, our desire should be, we are here to do the will of God. That should be our desire. I am here to do your will, God. What is it that you want me to do? I commit it to you. Today we're going to look at Jesus as the truth. I like what in chapter 18, in verse 36. Now, verse 38, Pilate said unto him, unto Jesus, what is truth? You know, sometimes I wish he would have just gave him a little bit of time to explain it. But it says, when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said to them, I don't find no fault in this man at all. And I'm like, that's truth. He just told the people that I don't find any fault in this man at all. And I'm just like, okay, that's truth. What are we proclaiming to people? What do we proclaim today through the life that we live? Truth is the revelation of God to us. God reveals his truth to us. Do we love the truth? Do you love the truth? Do you love the Word of God? Does it stir something in you when you read the Word of God? I remember a day when the Word of God became a revelation. Or as I began to read the Word, it was being revealed to me. That was so great. I just love thinking of those days when the Bible was so real. And everything that I read was just like, oh, this is amazing. God loves me. He's redeemed me from my life, from destruction. And he's crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's renewed my youth. Anyway. I just so remember reading through Psalms 103. And I'm just like, wow, this is a package that is out of this world. Just the revelation of the truth of the word. Praise God. Do you love the truth? So I'm going to look at chapter 8 and 9 a little bit. I want to look at chapter 8 a little. Jesus here is early in the morning, he came to the temple and all the people came to him. And then the Pharisees, just like always, they had to be in the middle of it and try to somehow confuse or try to find Jesus or try to trap him or something. Wherever he was, it just had to be there. Well, anyway, they brought this woman to him and caught an adultery and put her in the midst. Said, Master, what shall we do with this? The Old Testament says that we should stone her. But what would you say? Trying to trap him, right? They're constantly going against the truth. And Jesus is right here. Imagine, Jesus is right in our midst. He's walking with us, trying to convince these people who he is. And yet they're just continuously against him. So they're trying to trap him here. Apparently they brought stones with them because he says, he that is here without sin, let him cast the first stone. So apparently they had stones with them. I think they were going to stone, or at least act like they might. I don't think they would have, because they knew the law good enough that they're not allowed to stone her alone. But they did this tempting him. But as it was, they all left because they all were convicted that he said, whoever's here without sin can cast the first stone. So they left. But in verse 12, it says, and Jesus spake again, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But here the Pharisees are again. I don't know where they left the first time. It says they all, being convicted, went out one by one. But here he is in verse 12, and the Pharisees are already here again, trying to just challenge him and to bring somehow, to convince themselves that this guy isn't real. And yet they had no power whatsoever. And the Pharisees are there. They're just saying, you're just bearing record of thyself, and that's not true. And like, but anyway, they have this conversation. But in verse 31, 31 through 36, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed. I guess verse 30, it does say, and he spake these words. As he spake these words, many Jews believed on him. Then said Jesus to those who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I guess I was just meditating on that. As the truth became real, as I began to know the truth, after I got born again, I started to know the truth, and it set me free. It began to set me free. It began to make, just, it set my heart free. Then answered him, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Like, we're not in bondage. What are we going to be free from? We don't know we're in bondage. We don't really want to admit that we're in bondage, right? But really, that must be the first thing. What an opportunity they would have had to just accept Christ for who he is. Like, yeah, I know. I really want to be out of this. I don't want to be this way. This is not what I want to be, but I'm caught here, right? But they're just like, we're not in bondage. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. So there must be a transfer, I guess, or there must be a new father, right? We have to come to the place where we now see God. He is the Father that we're now under his lordship now. It's no more Abraham. And yet they weren't even faithful to Abraham either. I mean, if they would have, and it says it somewhere here, you know, if you'd have done, like, if you'd have believed on Abraham, you'd believe me. I mean, because I was, like, we're just all part of the same, right? Before Abraham was, I was. Or I am. So I just see that they're just rejecting the truth. They're just continuously rejecting and continuously trying to convince themselves that somehow Jesus is fake. Or, as they called him, you know, he's some Samaritan or some mixed breed or something. Like, he's not even, you're altogether born and you're not even true. You're just a liar. But let's look at chapter 9, I guess. This is just, if Jesus is teaching that the truth will make you free, I find it interesting in chapter 9 that he actually does this in real life. So we'll finish at verse 59 there in chapter 8. Then they took up stones to cast at him. So they still had these stones in their pockets. from when they were going to stone this woman, right? They didn't use them on her, but now they were going to throw them at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Then verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he's just walking along, and as he passed by, he sees this blind man. And he's like, here's an opportunity to show them what I'm talking about. I think we, you know, God can have mercy on whom he has mercy. Here he is just passing by the crowd of people, and he sees this blind man, and he's like, here's an opportunity. I'm going to use this opportunity just to show these people what I mean. And I guess even just maybe the progression of this man's faith. First of all, it was to believe Jesus Christ. He didn't even know who Jesus was, really, I don't think. We can see that as we go on. But he's walking by, and his disciples are like, okay, so did this man sin, or was it his parents, or why is he blind? Like, what's the reason? Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So there was a plan here all along. God is going to use this blind man to illustrate who Christ is and what the truth can do to us. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes where no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. It's interesting. As long as he's here, he's the light. But after he left, he said, we are the light. So we're the light of the world. But here he's just saying, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of all things. Why didn't he just say, you know, be healed? Like he would have at some other places, you know, just receive your sight. But he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So here's the first test. Do we believe or don't we? If God says something, do we believe it and act upon it? Or are we like, nah, I don't know. How did he look? Probably being led by a friend or two with mud all over his eyes. And he's going to go wash it in some kind of a pool. He didn't even know what's going to happen. Like Jesus didn't tell him he's going to receive his sight. He just said, go and wash. And he went and washed and he came seeing. So the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? He was just a helpless beggar. There was nothing he could supply on his own. He was just there. If nobody helped him, he has nothing, right? He's poor, blind beggar, sitting by the wayside, just needing somebody to help him. And behold, Jesus reached out. But he said, some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am the one. Like the others said, well, it looks kind of like him, but I don't think it's the one. But they asked him, he's like, yeah, that's me. That was me. I was there blind. Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes open? And he said, a man called Jesus. He called him a man, right? A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. So they brought this man to the Pharisees. Now, why did they have to get the Pharisees involved here? But how often do we somehow get our religious leaders involved when there's a issue we don't like, just challenging us this morning? Do we believe what God said? But anyway, they brought him to the Pharisees aforetime that was blind. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Now, I don't see, I think there was other times in the Sabbath day where Jesus didn't do it this way. And they had a problem with that too. It's not just the fact that he made clay that they didn't like it. Like, I don't even think they liked when he healed people, period. Whether it was the Sabbath day or not, but here they were able to use the Sabbath day as a... Therefore, some said of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Do you keep Sabbath? Or how do we keep the Sabbath? Or is that important? What is important? You know, Jesus said, I am like the Sabbath. Like, he is that Sabbath day. It's, they were just trying to pick something out here, but this man is not of God, he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do miracles? And there was a division among them. They had divisions over anything. It was just again and again through John. You see, there was divisions. Well, I don't know who rose up to be their leaders, but it just seemed like the same of the same. But there was just divisions again and again. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? Now he says he's a prophet. Like, you see, he's, as he stands with God, as he continues to stand for truth and just what happened. I don't know exactly what it is, but I can see, right? That's what it is. And so he now recognizes this man must be a prophet. He just called him the man named Jesus before, but now he sees he must be a prophet. He's a prophet, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. Now they weren't his parents yet. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? And how then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and we know he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He can speak for himself. Now, as you read on, you see that that wasn't exactly true, but they just said this because they were fearful of being excommunicated. But do we fear being cast out? Do you have a fear of being cast out? If God has spoken to you, if there's a truth, if your eyes have been opened to the truth and you stand for the truth, is there a fear of you being cast out? I know how that feels. And yet I know that it's not like scary. It's just the thought of it. I can't say that I was ever fearful of being excommunicated. That didn't bother me because I knew the truth. I knew what I stood for. I knew why I was where I was. We knew what we were standing for. We were blind, but now we see, and it didn't matter. But says these words, spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed, if any man confessed that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Do we do that sometimes? Well, we just don't want to say it, so we somehow push it to someone else. So they again called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man's a sinner. That's kind of a, I don't know what, give God the praise. Like, almost like in manipulating him, like, let's give God the praise, right? We know this man's a sinner. Somehow, they want this man to confess somehow that Jesus wasn't who he is, I guess. I don't know what they're after, but I believe there was conviction in their hearts. And then we see in verse chapter 8 how there was conviction. As Jesus spoke, there was conviction. So he says, I love his answers here. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I'm not sure. One thing I know, that I was blind and I now see. That's awesome. Let's just don't beat around. I couldn't see before, but I can now. I'm not sure if he is a sinner, but I don't know. Does that matter? Then they said to him again, "What did he to thee that he opened your eyes?" He said, "I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" Like, do you really want to know the truth? I mean, do you want to follow Jesus? I'll tell you the truth. But I think he was beginning to recognize that they didn't really want to hear the truth. Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple. We're Moses' disciples." Now we're Moses' disciples. In chapter 8, they were Abraham's. Abraham was their father. "We know that God spoke unto Moses, but as for this fellow," they just, like this fellow, you just hear the content in their voice, like, "We don't know who this guy is. We know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is this a marvelous thing, that you don't know where he's from? And yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God doesn't talk through sinners. Like, he don't hear sinners. So, like, it can't be that he's a sinner. "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he hears." If you worship God with your life and you do the will of God, he's going to hear you. "Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one born blind." I didn't even research that, but I was kind of surprised when I just thought, it's like, okay, so there was never actually a blind man given sight, at least not from what they had. They might have just not wanted to know, but but he's just basically trying to make a point, like, this never happened before. Don't you see this is something new? "Since if this man were not of God, he couldn't do nothing. He could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Like, we're the teachers and the preachers here. What do you mean? You're trying to teach me what it means to, like, we know it all. You're trying to tell us that this guy is actually a prophet from God. And they cast him out. So it looks to me like, you know, he was born in sin because he was blind. They were thinking that he's sinful. And I think even the disciples kind of thought that way a little. Like, is this, who was sinning, and what, how could we maybe reverse this? Could this be, but just think of the progression and the faithfulness of this man and his testimony for God and just wanting to continue to speak for God. Now look what it says in 35. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, see this, Jesus heard that they cast him out. So he actually went looking for this man. And I'm like, wow, that is powerful. When you're cast out, when you get rejected, when there's rejection in your life, look at this. Jesus came looking for him. Because it says when he found him. So apparently he went looking for him. In a group of people, in a multitude of people. I'm not quite sure what was going on here. But it did say there was a crowd of people. That might have been in chapter 8 already. But here he found him. He said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. It's like, wow, this is so awesome. All of a sudden here, he really sees Jesus for who he is. Like, you're the Son of God. I believe that you're the Son of God. And I'm just like, wow, this is, Jesus said, "I'm the truth. And if you believe on me, you will be set free." And as he believed on Jesus Christ, as his story unfolds, I'm just like amazed at how God just continues to reveal himself in a further way. And here he has confessed, I believe that you are the Son of God. And that was all, that was worth it all right there. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I'm just like, wow, that is so powerful. Jesus knew that there was still more that needed to be revealed to this man. So he went searching for him. And he just confirmed that. Are you the Son of God? Do you know? Do you believe? He said, yes, I believe. I believe. I believe that you are the Son of God. Praise God. May the truth of the Word of God come. You know, Jesus said, I am the truth. It's not a truth, but it's the truth. And as Sim said, this is the truth. This Bible is the truth. It's the revelation of God. The truth is a revelation of God to us. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. I am the truth. Okay, we're going to close here looking at Ephesians 2:20. It talks about Jesus being a chief cornerstone. And what our lives, this is really where we need to measure our lives from. Now think about this. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So in a foundation, when you do the foundation of a building, it's very important that it's built properly for the sustaining of the building, right? And it says the apostles and the prophets are the foundation. And that could be, like, I thought Jesus is that foundation. He's the chief cornerstone of the foundation. And I believe the apostles and prophets, they were the foundation. But the foundation was completely built and measured off of that cornerstone. I believe everything they did, everything that was done in the prophets and the apostles was measured off of the chief cornerstone. It says, our foundations already have been laid. The apostles and prophets laid the foundation. But it does say we need to be careful how we build upon this foundation. And I believe as we build, we are building today. Our lives, we are building. It says we're being fitly framed together and we're actually building a holy temple for God to dwell in. Ain't that? Imagine soon you'd be building something, you know God's going to live here. Wouldn't you be very particular how you build this? When you bring put together a mortise and tenon, I love, these always were fun. I enjoyed it. But you bring those two pieces together, they're fitly framed, and then you knock a pin in and it pulls it tight. And it actually just fits perfect. The apostles and prophets already laid the foundation. Now we're being fitly joined together. We're fitly framed together to a holy temple in the Lord. Well, it says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So I guess this morning, as we think of building upon the foundation that's already been laid, let's make sure. Let's say we're in the 100th story, right? There's people long been building on this building, right? We're now in the 100th story or 200th or whatever it might be. do you think it's going to work to just kind of be careless and carefree of how you build the corners, or if it's square or if it's level, or like, what's the big deal? I mean, it matters. Like, somehow there must be, even then, even as far up as you go, there must be that plumb line that's going to come down and measure with the cornerstone. And even as we do the corners, there must, it must, if you don't, eventually that thing's going to topple. So be careful how you build on the building that's upon this foundation. Think about what you do. Think about this blind man. It says, as Jesus passed by, it's just like he's just walking down the road and he's like, oh, hold it. Here, I can use this guy as an illustration. And he just, and it's just amazing what Jesus did with one person who was willing to just obey him. And you could have thought, well, what am I going to do at the pool? Or like, what's going to happen? Or what if they don't like me? Or what if I get rejected? Or, you know, he just went and washed. And he didn't even know what's going to happen. But he came seeing. And at the end of the story, and end of the chapter there, Jesus is the Son of God. And just to realize that truth, when we see Jesus as the truth, it will change our life. Amen. Praise God.